there's like this French quote, I forget, but it translates to, in matters of taste, there can be no dispute, right? So, and you think about that, it's like if we had an argument over pepperoni and salami, it's a little more like really cut and clear and dry.
I hate both.
And I'm like, well, okay, well, let's say you love salami and I like pepperoni better, right?
Can
and
I take some pepperoni?
Sure, you love pepperoni more and I love salami.
Yeah.
Well, we can argue till we're blue in the face. It's an opinion-based thing. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of taste, right?
Right.
And so we can't have that
full
conversation.
There's no right or wrong.
That. And a lot of conversations, people don't realize that is what you're actually doing. Like,
yeah.
So it's like, you can, right, now someone's like, the Beatles are so much better than One Direction. Maybe. You can have a conversation about who sold more things, mm-hmm. and then that's an objective conversation.
They're better.
Yeah. Hi, welcome to Show They Don't Tell You. We are a CastBox original, produced in partnership with Studio 71.
It's not a partnership. It's more than that. It's a friendship.
Yeah.
And CastBox happens to be the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android.
And you can find all your favorite podcasts here. I mean, you could listen to Shit They Don't Tell You on other places, but
no, you could listen to it on iOS, Android. Maybe you're doing that right now. But yeah, we happen to think that CastBox is the best place to do that. The highest quality audio.
So
the,
listen to it on CastBox. What are you waiting for? Like, what are you honestly waiting for?
The best video playback.
What are you doing your nails? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for?
The text font they use on the app is stellar. It's just an unbelievable service.
What is it, Helvetica?
Yeah, it's Helvetica.
Helvetica.
It's a great service.
Get CastBox.
Hey, you know what the shit they didn't tell you about CastBox is? That it's the best. And they should have. It should have been in
the
branding.
They should have really told you that.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Hello, welcome back to The Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo. I'm joined here today by my beautiful husband, Homeless Fonz. That's what our sound producer, Mark, just told me to introduce him as.
Thank you very much, Nikki.
I think it's very apropos, as Steve would like to say.
I am wearing comfortable clothing.
Yeah,
due to my situation with my kidney stones. I hope that's okay with everybody.
It's pouring rain. You don't have a kidney stone anymore, first of all, so quit trying to get sympathy.
Oh, so I just had my stent removed this morning.
Yeah,
it
he
was
had
like
a stent removed from his dick today.
Coming right out of my body. And
he's
yeah,
been peeing blood
so
for the past week.
I'm dressed appropriately,
but,
and I hope that was
you know
okay
what?
With everybody.
Stop playing the victim.
But I'll be sure to wear a tuxedo next week.
I haven't gotten laid in a month and a half, so feel bad for me.
Steve.
Hey, Chester, I've had kidney stones,
wait,
bro.
We haven't introduced him yet. Okay, we have a guest today.
No, that happened this morning?
No,
yes.
Well, yeah, that
he
happened
removed
this morning,
the stint this morning.
That's the sort of champ I am, but instead I get fucking wrecked. I get wrecked about my clothing choices.
Thank you.
Oh, he's committed to his podcast.
So today
we have a guy. He's a very special man. He's from my fantasy football league. We call him just a guy from my fantasy football league. His name is Chester C.
Oh, I was going to give him actual credits.
No, I don't need any credits.
Musician, Broadway star, legendary person.
I think he's an excellent trash talker.
YouTuber.
Well.
Yeah.
An excellent trash talker.
I got really weird at one point when I was trash talking, because for me, I'm sure you know,
yeah,
none of it's real.
I know.
But there's sometimes, I won't name names, but some people in the group.
Oh, Chris
like,
Thompson, yeah,
they're
he takes it really bad.
You could tell, and then I start to have fun with it,
yeah,
and I start to prod and poke, but then I'm like, I think I'm actually messing with his emotions.
You were wrecking him when the Bears lost the other day. You were wrecking him, dude. You were inside of his soul, bro.
And I was like, you can't get me right now because this is your moment that failed.
No.
Like, I'm
so
safe
one time,
right now.
He was looking in the window at himself and he was touching the window with his palm after what you said.
See, we can make fun all we want, but if you try to diss Peyton after he threw that pick six in that one Super Bowl, Steve was crying that day. So like,
wait, yeah, what the hell? So I tell you a private moment because I didn't even know you then. And now you got to use it against me as a blunt instrument?
What do you mean you didn't know me
then?
That was
a private
moment. I vlogged it. I was with you. Do you not remember that we were dating? Oh, my God.
No, Nikki, that was in 2013, bro.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I thought you were talking about 2009.
Oh, you cried again? I didn't know about that one.
No, that was the most devastating one because we actually almost won the Super Bowl. We were coming back, and then he threw a pick six against the Saints.
Okay, I didn't know about that one.
You're talking about the Broncos-Seahawks one?
Yes,
because
you felt sad
pick
for him.
Pick sixes the whole fucking game?
Yeah, you felt sad for him. You cried. So I'm just saying
which time, you know?
You know, if you try to shit-talk him at that point, you know, God be with you. Anyway, today's topic is about Shit They Don't Tell You about being okay with being wrong, or like just be wrong, like be wrong, how to truly listen to other people and entertain, you know, different opinions and different ideas without feeling threatened that you have to adopt them as your own. A lot of people, I feel like, attach their opinions and their beliefs to their identity, and they're like so scared of listening to any outside information because like they might get kicked out of their idea club.
And we were thinking like, who do we know that's constantly wrong and is fine with it? And we're like, Chester C, that's the guy to get.
Yeah.
I think that Chester, in all seriousness, Chester, I've watched him be in conversations, you are so good at listening to two sides of a conversation and either not forming an opinion or like taking your time and explaining why you think one or the other.
Yeah.
I like that. I think not enough people do that.
Well, I enjoy the conversation, but what I've noticed, I get in trouble sometimes, which I think is hilarious, for not having an opinion on something that I believe to be extremely complicated, right? So, like, someone will get into a conversation and you know, not to get too political, but, like, pick, like, tax reform, right? Mm-hmm. Or something like that. And you're like, they have, you know, both sides will have strong opinions about it. But as soon as you start to prod, they don't actually know anything about taxes or macroeconomics. Like, that's not their expertise. What they do know is that they trust the people on their side to have told them it is so.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a very different thing.
They know because they read an op-ed and they're trying to recall information that they read in the article that they read, but they don't actually know the information. That's what's so fun. Yeah, I enjoy that.
And I think that's because I think people, well, one, they're lazy, so they'd rather just pick a side and, like, follow whoever's on that side. And it's like, whoever your friends are following, well, that's probably the right side to be on. But, you know, humans are really tribal by nature, and I think that contributes to, you know, why we biologically feel the need to do that, like picking teams or sides. The problem is that I feel like, especially nowadays, and this is why I feel like this is the shit they don't tell you, is that they do it to a degree that discourages independent thought, which I don't
100%.
I don't like.
Critical thinking.
Like, why can't we just hear all of the information and then choose something? Why do we have to hear it from one source first and agree with that and then be like really mad about listening to
the other
source?
I will say that I'm a little bit tribal because I'll be at like a party, like a YouTuber event or some shit, and this happens every time. This is why I got on with you early, Chester. Because, like, I'll be at a party and I'm like, hey, has anybody watched the game last weekend or anything? And all these guys are like proud to be like, I don't watch some football. Oh, you mean sports ball? I don't even watch this I don't watch the sports ball. I'm too way too cool and smart for that. And I'm just like, okay, I'm sorry. Like, I just like this thing. Who cares? Like, but they've already prejudged me as like, I'm a jock fucking musclehead guy or whatever the fuck.
Because I like
this stuff. Mm-hmm. I like general stupid things, I guess. And so they're already better than me because I like this thing. But then I'm like, no, I'm better than you, bro.
Yeah, in your head.
Actually, I'm better than you. Because it's such a... They don't want their identity to be associated with this stupid sports ball thing that they're better than. Mm-hmm. So they've already decided that a whole swath of people out there who follow this and like this and care when their teams lose and all this shit are idiots for it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? But really, it's not like when the Colts lose, I'm like devastated and I'm unreachable for a week. Mm-hmm. But like, it's fun to care about something and then to like to be happy when they win and to be like, damn, it sucks when they lose.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
You're invested.
So I've always been a Packers fan, but truth be told, I just ramped up my fandom
same.
The last couple of years.
I mean, 2011.
It's interesting because they won a Super Bowl in the past couple of years.
So this is how
it is about the time that I ramped it up. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I when they won the Super Bowl, I'm pretty sure when they got to the Super Bowl, someone told me, and I was like, oh, they did? Awesome. Like, that's the kind of fan that I was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
good.
Oh, good, that's my team.
Yeah.
So, you know. But after fantasy football, man, you're just in it.
Yeah, fantasy football, actually, this topic is not about fantasy football, but that opened me up to watching all the teams, which has been enlightening. I really, like, I have a person on each team that I root for now, which is something I never would have done before.
Yeah.
Fantasy football.
You know, like, defensive backs and linebackers for no reason.
Like, exactly.
Yeah, but that's the thing. So, see, learning about something that you weren't really invested in before, and that kind of has to do with this topic that I think just, like, I'm a fan of learning, whether it's, like, learning a new skill or new information about a certain subject or learning both sides of an argument. Mm-hmm. I think that when you just assume that you know everything and that you're right about everything and that no one can tell you different, that's when you just stop learning.
Dude, we watched that Making a Murderer. And then we immediately were researching the other arguments because we weren't like, oh, we know 100% everything about Stephen Avery now. We know he's 100% innocent, and I'm just going to watch a fucking one-sided documentary and be like, I believe this 100%. Like, no, dude, I couldn't wait to jump on my phone. But I always wait till I can't get spoiled. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I watched the whole thing, you know what I mean? And then I can't wait to read the other thing where it's like, oh no, here's why Stephen Avery sucks.
Yeah, so then there was a couple years that went by between the Making Murderer 1 and Making a Murderer 2. And we went back and forth so many times, but we by the end we decided that we thought he was guilty.
Yeah.
But there was some shadiness with the cops, you know? So
it was
clearly
some shadiness with the cops.
Yeah, for sure. But we were like, he probably did it, but also it was shady the way that they locked him up. But then after watching Making a Murderer 2, I'm like, damn, he really didn't do it, I don't think.
Maybe not.
I don't know. Really?
Pretty interesting.
But the point is, I don't know. None of us know.
There's nothing wrong with not knowing either. That's
exactly.
There's nothing wrong with not knowing.
And I think people should be okay with not knowing. So I want to just really hone that in, is that like it's okay not to know.
Yeah.
I think Brendan Dassey's innocent.
True.
I do.
Brendan Dassey doesn't even understand what even happened.
It's like blaming the sea sponge for murder, bro.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, you can't. That's not fair.
They fed him lines.
Yeah.
So that's, that's crazy.
He was like reading verbatim and shit. Yeah. And they're like, what about the bedroom? Tell me about the bedroom. Did you punch her in the head? It's like, damn, bro. He's like, yeah, I punched her in the head. And they're like, see, he's inventing new shit. He's saying he punched her in the head. But we're all supposed to watch the doc, and we're just supposed to open our mouths for Mama Bird. That's why I feel like documentaries are usually created.
Sure.
Where I feel like the good shit is the back and forth and the but I feel like most of the current arguments that everyone has are the Mama Bird.
We just
baby
have to watch
bird.
Documentaries that on both sides of a topic.
Yeah, good luck finding that.
Right,
but
right.
You know, it didn't. I really believe this. It didn't used to be this bad.
No, I don't think it did.
I blame the King of Kong.
But that's why I think that it's starting out with the younger, like when you're in school. You know, I think that there was more. I don't know. We did debate in school. I don't know if they still
Speech
do
debate,
that.
It was fun.
Yeah. They. I don't know if they still do that, or like I feel like we did a lot more critical thinking back then, where I just don't see it being applied as much now.
I did a debate about the benefits of instant oatmeal opposed to the Quaker the oats oatmeal, and I took the instant side, and I had a blast with it, man. I was like,
well,
instant oatmeal
Ren Link
is the
has
absolute
some pretty
shit.
Great debates.
I used, oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You ever tune into Good Mythical Morning?
No. I mean, I've seen it a couple times, but not like a regular listener.
They're fantastic. I love those guys. They'll do like, you know, hamburger versus hot dog, you know, taco versus
that's fun.
Burrito, whatever.
and they'll debate about it.
Oh, they get into it.
That's so
funny.
They commit
to their
stuff.
It's fun.
That's
really
great.
Fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, you got to keep me from going to the political.
Oh, yeah.
But,
Chester beforehand that you don't have to share. We don't get political or religious on
care.
This show, but you can if you want to. But we don't really discuss our own personal politics or
yeah. Well, I got
religion.
Nothing to lose. And like I said, I literally call myself. I made my own term, my own party. It's called the Agnosticrats, and we just don't know.
Yeah, I love that. It's so healthy.
I'm fine with it. And
where are you on people wearing capes?
I'm all for it.
I'm against it.
I've been pushing for it, actually.
No, I like it.
I like it.
Me
Nikki's
too.
Trying to convince me that it's chill to wear capes
it's
now.
Fashion.
Like, it's actually not okay.
And by
Thank
the way,
you.
We're finally
Thank
entering
you.
A real generation that has a name, the 20s, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
We haven't
the Roaring
really
20s.
Had,
that's pretty cool.
I know, because the ops.
The Hoppin' 20s.
The Roaring 20s.
We're going to bring back the Charleston.
Yep. Well, we should have a clear, defined fashion for this generation, for this next decade, because we haven't really. Like,
no.
80s, 90s even, you had a thing. Then it was just kind of bland.
Yeah,
like,
but what
love...
are you doing right now with fashion? He's
it's
got, like, a
hoodie.
Headband on. He's like
he's
doing
trying
some...
to invent the 20s before it happens. This is a prototype.
Headbands.
Dude, it's like
Pay
you just watched Three Ninjas, and you're like, I'm going to bring
Three
that.
Three Ninjas?
I'm gonna, yeah. That's kind of what you're doing.
That's why
here.
I think the 90s were the best decade. I will
I
continually
like
be a fan of 90s fashion and culture. 90s is the best, except for the heroin stuff, but like everything else was the
Wait,
fucking best.
What do you
best.
Mean the heroin stuff?
Heroin stuff
well,
is now.
You can't just
yeah,
throw
know,
that
but,
away.
Well, I mean the grunge heroin era. Yeah,
heroin's
but-
heroin's bigger now.
Well,
I think it's bigger now.
The opioid epidemic is now, which is includes heroin, but back then it was
all
heroin
all
day or day.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
heroin's
the
been around since the opium dens back in the Chinese, those empires. Like, that's not new. 90s didn't invent
so
that.
So true. Let's talk about the Ming Dynasty.
90s for me, 90s for me. I think of the movie Go, so I think of E.
Okay.
You think of the movie Go?
Mm-hmm.
You think of a movie that made like $28 million?
Wow, that's a very specific.
I know,
you
so
know?
Specific.
Yeah, I know.
He's
yeah,
a writer, okay?
Box office mojo,
he knows about production.
You know what I'm saying?
I just think, I remember everyone going to raves, and that was sort of the thing, you know? Everyone
yeah.
Doing excess baggage.
Ecstasy.
I was in like sixth grade, so I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I forget him.
Chester's
yeah.
old.
I'm not that old.
I'm just kidding.
Young.
I'm just kidding.
Wow, you actually touched on something that matters to him.
No. I really don't care.
Usually when you raise your sword in defense, that's when
is.
I know.
No, I like that I'm turning old. I'm turning old, whatever.
Yeah.
36 coming up.
Okay.
You don't have
not
to
bad.
Say.
Hmm?
You don't
no,
have
I like
to.
It. I like it.
Well, you look 38. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so you're able to listen to both sides. Let's go back
to that. What
do
you think okay. it is about you that makes you get capable of listening to both sides unemotionally?
Honestly, there was a moment where I just caught myself having been stuck in my own ideas, my own ideology, my own team, my own, okay, this is, I had convinced myself that, because I was very liberal and for whatever that means.
Well, that definition has changed a lot.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It has. So I was very, I was left liberal, what do you want to call it? And I thought that, you know, these complicated political issues, I thought there were simple answers to them. And, and the other side was either dumb, corrupt, or evil for having the opposite opinion. There was like a little bit once I started digging into some of the political stuff where I had sculpted those opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came across, and this is going to sound so stupid, but I came across Milton Friedman. And then I started reading Free to Choose. And it didn't turn me into a capitalist by any means. But I was like, wait a minute. These points are super valid where they are trying to get to an outcome that is also for the better of everyone in the group. Mm-hmm. It's just points that I never thought of before.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also one moment where my dad is a conservative, and he's a Fox News watcher, and I think of Fox as being very propagandistic, and it is, but you know, it sculpts one-sided opinions.
I think all media is.
But they're clearly the conservative. And so my dad and I got into a conversation, and I was like, you know, I'm going to destroy him with facts. And then so I couldn't find the facts. And there was a couple of like political topics. And I won't get into the details so we don't ruffle feathers.
Right.
Everyone's so sensitive.
I know.
But there was a couple of issues.
That's
that I was like,
what? That's the point of this episode is that I feel like everyone's so sensitive and I just think we should have a conversation.
Yeah.
Because
like, it sucks that I can't. Like I feel like I have to. I have a hesitation to get into the nuance and details because of I'll be judged for simply asking questions.
Yeah.
For simply saying I don't agree necessarily anymore with some of the left ideas because I think that there are outcomes that are on the other side that actually do benefit most people.
Right. Both sides are wrong and both sides are right.
And I don't know the answer, but I would love to poke at it more so we can find out together.
Right.
And so one of the things
I want to argue against your straw man and not even. I don't want to talk to you as an individual person. I want to argue against your straw man.
And straw man's an ad hominem, and it's just constant not actually trying to get to the bottom of something.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing that I love. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if anyone is interested, you can find it all on YouTube, the Free to Choose show. It was a PBS show, right?
Mm.
And Milton Friedman, what he does is he's obviously this one of the most famous economists of that era. He would break down why he believes something, you know, whether it be about healthcare or the taxes, whatever it may. First 30 minutes is him doing a little PBS style, you know, this is how it works. Then the next 30 minutes is he brings on like Marxists and people that completely disagree with him.
And Phil
Donahue has been on. Yeah,
always. I remember that shit.
Donald Rumsfeld has been on.
Yeah.
So Thomas Sowell and these guys, and women, all these experts in their fields, they're having this great conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's
with
fantastic.
With 80s lighting.
With what?
With 80s lighting.
With 80s
and
lighting.
Audio.
Yeah. And he's sort of hosting the whole thing, and he's letting them challenge his ideas, and you really do feel like you're getting a better understanding of what's going on. We don't have that anymore. So.
Well, no, now it's all little TV hits is what they call them.
Yeah.
And it's like you get your point out in 3 minutes or less.
Yeah.
And you probably get 30 seconds
to talk.
Well,
that's because the media makes more money when emotions are high.
Yeah, narrative news network is every channel.
That's what they're supposed to do. That's their job is to raise emotions. And the more I like looked at that, the less I watched TV. But in our family growing up, we didn't talk about politics at all. So I didn't even know. Half the times I would just say my opinion or on a subject or whatever, and people would throw their own labels at me, which I thought was like crazy because I didn't even know what any of the words meant. Like they'd be like, oh, you're a liberal or you're a conservative or whatever. I didn't even know what that meant. I just would say my views on a particular subject, and that's what I have continued to do because I just feel like, I don't know, I never can completely 100% agree with one group of people, like, and just give them everything and be like, you're right forever. You're
not without facts.
Loyalty, right.
So I have a theory, not theory. I think that the reason it's gotten so crazy is when we were kids or when we were teenagers even when we were in college, unless you were gravitating to political stuff on your own, it wouldn't come across you. Today, if you're a kid, 13-year-old kid on Twitter, the headline on Twitter Moments might be something that is coming from a Silicon Valley biased perspective on something political, and it's designed to charge you up.
Yeah.
So you're a 14, 15-year-old kid, and you have a strong opinion on gun legislation. Like, that's something I was, you know,
I didn't know
happy to be removed
that
from
when
I was
a
kid.
Kid
yeah.
Either. Yeah. Like, okay, well, let's bring it away from politics and even just in general having opposing viewpoints, because I've noticed this in like the vegan community, you know, it basically people want to have a label so that they know if you're not in that label, you're the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's a way for people to not take full responsibility for the happiness in their lives and being able to point the finger and go, it's because of those people. That's why this world is fucked and we're all fucked, mm-hmm. and they're destroying everything for everybody. Yeah. And I don't think that's healthy. I think most people, I'd say 90% of people, I think, have good intentions. Like we all want the same thing. We want kind of like peace and except just to like live our lives or whatever. Maybe 10% are like evil.
Hey, no, that's sort of
cut it.
Sorry.
That's like a Locke and Hobbes conversation, right? Figure out whether or not, if man is innately good, you know, and what kind of structure.
And so they need you to have a label, I've realized, because I don't really put any labels on myself, but people will either put a label on me or mm-hmm. they'll ask me, like, are you this? And I'm like, no, I'm not anything. Yeah. But they need it so badly to know if you're on their team or not.
My whole thing is like, are you against unfettered spying on the American citizenry? Well, then what's wrong with you? What do you have to hide? Like, for me, I'm like, why can't we put a microphone in every home, and why can't we listen to every conversation and mine all your data, and why can't we check all your Gmail and make sure that you're on the good team? That's my thing. And if you disagree with that, I think you're probably a traitor.
I probably just actually have things to hide.
There you go. Well, shame on you.
What I also think is great in a general sense, even pertaining to relationships, I think that you should be okay with being wrong. I think that's like a huge factor in why we have such a healthy relationship, is because when we're able to disagree on something and not add emotion to it.
No.
You know,
we don't yell at each other about it.
We really listen to the other person's point of view, and then I'm okay with changing my mind and being wrong about it. I'm okay with Steve presenting new information and me being like, oh yeah, I guess I was wrong about that.
I give her information about the benefits of anal sex all the time.
Shut up.
I would say that that's where she's the most closed-minded, but she definitely has been more open, I think, in the past couple years.
So I also think this is a really interesting thing. A lot of debates and conversations mm-hmm. are actually not supposed to be had. So what I mean by that is, there's like this French quote, I forget, but it translates to, in matters of taste, there can be no dispute, right? So, and you think about that, it's like, if we had an argument over pepperoni and salami, it's a little more like really cut and clear and dry.
I hate both of those.
And I'm like, well, okay, let's say you love salami and I like pepperoni better, right?
Can I take some pepperoni?
Sure. You love pepperoni more and I love salami.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, we can argue till we're blue in the face. It's an opinion-based thing. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of taste, right?
Right.
And so we can't have that conversation.
There's no right or wrong.
That. And a lot of conversations, people don't realize that is what you're actually doing. Like, so it was like, you can, right, now someone's like, the Beatles are so much better than One Direction. Maybe. You can have a conversation about who sold more things, mm-hmm. and then that's an objective conversation.
They're better. Yeah.
But people get emotionally attached to things like their sports team or musicians.
But the Beatles are better than One Direction.
So we'd have to define what better was before we can actually.
I think every single person in One Direction would say the Beatles are better. I think that's when you lose the argument.
But this is exactly what I mean. That's like,
do One Direction play instruments?
I don't know.
Well, they're not better if they did.
Who didn't play instrument in the Beatles?
This is where
didn't somebody not play?
No, they all played instruments.
Oh yeah, it was just that Ringo was overrated as a drummer.
He's a drummer.
I think,
he wrote Yellow Submarine, man. So.
Dude, did you know that there was a different drummer? But in the Beatles, drummer in the Beatles, and he was getting more attention than.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, and so they didn't like that he was getting all the attention because he was like super cool looking and he was really hot.
I didn't hear that. That's how it happened.
So they replaced him with a really basic ass looking drummer.
Is that real?
I heard they had some disagreement over some shit, and that's why.
Well, that's, I don't know.
You're saying it's because he was hot?
Yeah.
Like, screw this guy.
I love it.
I kick him out too. I'm like, he's taking all the pussy. Fuck
that guy. That's true.
Where is he now?
He's doing some cool shit. I don't know. I was just reading it in a book that I was reading.
He's the drummer for One Direction.
Right. But he
he's doing, there's no way he's happier. But he probably says he is.
He says he's happier.
Yeah, of course he does. Yeah, yeah. You have to. How do you fuck it? It's called cope.
But that's
cope
kinda,
theory.
That's kind of what I was getting at, though, Chester, when you were talking about opinions. And that I think that we all want the same things, you know, which is peace and stuff, and have different ways of going about it.
Mm-hmm.
Each side has like a different way that they think is going to be the best way or the right way. And it's so silly that we label someone the enemy without like realizing that we want the same thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is so, it's interesting.
But it's interesting to get into cope real quick. There's a whole
Coke?
Cope.
Oh, cope.
coping mechanisms.
Oh, yes.
Because there's a whole subreddit of people who didn't buy Bitcoin back in like 2010.
Oh, my
and
God.
They it's called Reddit Buttcoin. And they just shit talk like how it's all big fuck like scam all day. But like if they had just bought like when everyone else was buying like $1.
Yeah.
So now they have to cope by being like, see, everyone's getting scammed. Like, see, Bitcoin's only worth like $4,000 now. Like, how much does that suck? And it's like,
it sounds like
a
scorned ex.
Yeah,
it sounds right. like an ex that's like, she ain't that hot.
Exactly.
Look at, she's getting older. She's got crow's feet.
Well, most of the world looks at life through a relativistic philosophical lens, right? And so everyone is looking at.
Whoa, the fuck, explain.
About to.
So relativistic.
Just philosophic let him talk.
Lens.
Let the man talk.
Yeah. Slow it down for me.
Steve's very basic.
Everything is based on a comparison. So, and you can see this even with something like the poverty line and how it's moved over the years because as people get richer, the idea of having X amount doesn't feel like it's the same. Like, it feels like it's less, as you know, even though you personally might have more you know, today than you did 20, 30 years ago. So
not enough iPhones.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I want more iPhones.
That's true. I do want another iPhone.
So you look up and like, so for instance, this happens all the time with, I think, for me, I have to check myself. I look around my group of friends, my peers, and who's doing, quote unquote, better than me in whatever that means, financially, career, whatever. That can make me feel like I'm not doing as good as I should because I'm lower in the hierarchy in my mind. Or if I look down at some of my friends that are, you know, struggling still at, you know, at this age and, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, and I feel good about where I am, right? But it's always comparative. It's not actually, do I have food, shelter, water, good friends? Like, the baseline is really where we should stop comparing. I have this strong feeling that if you have food, shelter, and water taken care of, Maslow's hierarchy, right?
Right.
Needs.
I would add in their sex.
Because
wars are fought without
sex.
Sex and
pizza. The next one is like safety.
Oh.
It's like safety. I don't know. But the point is like the rest feels like a game to me. It's like if you have food, shelter, water taken care of, you're playing a game at that point. You're playing an emotional management game of life.
Yeah, but what about inventory? Like, I have a closet full of plastic crap that I bought from China. Like, I like that, and I want more of that.
It makes you feel good, you know?
Isn't there a study, I might just be pulling this out of my ass, but isn't there a study where countries that have plenty of food and women have less war because they're all fucking and eating?
I don't know, but it sounds right.
That sounds like something
like
people
the testosterone
say.
Is like balanced. So like no one's like really fighting all that
that
hard.
That sounds like something that somebody yells into a microphone at some public event.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like
I actually don't. So say that again, what you're saying?
Countries that have plenty of food and women tend to have less war.
See, so I would assume that's true, but I actually think there's a line where if you have too much of something,
and
I think
an excess,
I really do think this. I think
they create problems.
Yes, because you take away purpose from people, right?
Yes.
So if you, I think there might be a correlation with some of the, to be honest with like some of the mass shootings and things, some things that are happening right now, where people are being very nihilistic and being completely removed from like reality. You know, like the guy that walked into Thousand Oaks, like my God, like he was tweeting that he just was bored, right?
Yeah,
right.
I think there really might be something that's happening right now. You look at the suicidality rates. They go up in places like South Korea.
Suicidality?
Yeah, like the suicide rates.
Okay, yeah.
They go up in like the United States of America, South Korea, places that are actually prospering.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that's such an interesting thing to think about.
Well, it's just like
why are they going up where people are actually doing okay?
Yeah, Japan.
Because I grew up in Santa Barbara, and there's a very defined track. There's Montecito kids who are like super rich, and then there's like the rest of us who are just like, it's like a beach town. And Santa Barbara itself is I guess considered affluent, but the people that live there, it's not like they have buttloads of money. It's just like they live by the beach, so that's why it's more costly to live there. But there was actually rich kids in Montecito, and they all had drug problems because they didn't have real problems. Like they didn't have any.
Struggles
with
just
money
escaping
or
from things.
Yeah,
a lot of the rich kids I knew growing up were always
all
like
had
that.
Drug problems.
Or they would kind of try to rebel against their parents because they wanted to be cool because all their friends around them weren't rich, and so it was always like a point of contention that they were rich. So they always tried to like be like, well, no, look, I'm lashing out. Like,
And they like separate themselves from their families, and then they're like, nah, now I'm poor. Like,
yeah,
I have all
these
problems.
Right, I have all these problems, and like my parents wire me, $3,000 a month, and like, but I don't have to talk to them that much. And
yeah, it's only $3,000.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard to live off that, man.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting.
No, you need purpose. You have to have a goal and something that pulls you forward, or you just get lost.
Yeah.
I fully believe that.
What is your purpose now, Chester C?
Well, I, you know, it's interesting. I actually. I've had to kind of manufacture some interesting ways of finding purpose. So, like right now, I'm on a mission to build 100 wells in Africa.
Oh yeah,
and that's
because it's hella profitable for you, right?
Yeah, it's not profitable. I don't make a dollar. I promise. I don't buy my own.
Slinging these wells all over the place.
Yeah, come on, man. He's slinging wells everywhere.
Yeah, no. But I feel really good about that. But going back to what I was saying, the reason why I latched onto that too is because I can make sense of, you know, a community not having access to clean drinking water and being like, you're not playing the game yet. If you know what I mean? Like if the women and children are walking how many miles just to get dirty water, kids are getting sick from dying from diarrhea in some circumstances, like that has to get fixed before you can
even really
start talking about education.
They don't even have an iPhone or anything.
A lot of them they do. You'd be surprised. Like
no,
it's
they
not,
do. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. It's
My
just
bad.
Certain areas.
They just can't charge them easily.
They can't drink water, but they have iPhones.
Well, it's because it's an interesting thing. In the place that I went, I'm gonna go visit Uganda soon too and see what's going on there. But
yeah,
I was in East Swatini, Swaziland, and
it sounds made up, but go ahead.
Yeah.
What a silly country.
Yeah.
I actually like that the name of that. I wish we had a cool name.
Yeah.
Swaziland.
True.
That sounds so cool.
Cool. That's right. But I met with all these different people in these different communities, and one thing that stood out was like, these aren't people that, I mean, these people seem fulfilled and it was like joyous and happy, and I kind of like going back to what I was saying before with the suicide rates, it's like I think I have friends that are more likely to commit suicide because they can't get an acting job than some of the people that live there.
Because it's all comparative.
Yeah, but the water problem needs to get fixed because they're not in a position where they can fix that. So anyway, but yeah, so that's to answer
that's
your
new
question.
Purpose.
At the moment, it's a big part of it.
That's great.
A part of my purpose. And so, because I feel like I've been playing the me game for a long
time.
Yeah,
I have a theory on that too, and I want to talk more about it right after this break.
Dua Lipa.
You know, when I play my music to people who I really respect or look up to, then I hear my songs in a different perspective.
Cardi B.
I know what it feels like when you feel like everybody turned your back and like, don't ever think it's because you did something wrong.
Harry Styles.
I feel like I'm falling more and more in love with making music each time I get to do it.
You know these artists for their songs, videos, and epic performances.
But they have so many stories beyond their fame.
That's what we're here to share with you on the Spout Podcast.
We sit down with some of the biggest names in music.
And along the way, our guests reveal stories that even their biggest fans may have never heard before.
Check out the Spout Podcast to hear famous people spout off about more than what they're famous for.
And find out who's spouting off next.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. We know that you all out there and you're wondering, what are you going to do with all your free time? Well, the good folks at Percocet wanted to sponsor this part of the ad. Percocet is something that I currently take. They sent me a whole case of it, and they sent it to me for my kidney stone, and I came to realize that I actually like it even when I don't have kidney stone pains. So Percocet, the great people at Percocet, they just want to let you know that you can get a good case of Percocet if you just go to the doctors. What you do is you prick your finger, you go and get your, you say you have kidney stones, you know, you go inside the bathroom, you prick your finger with like a little needle or something, and you add some of that blood into your urine. And that way, you're able to get some of the prescribed sweet, sweet Percocet that I have in my system right now in your body, too. It's just like the lady said when I was getting my prescription filled. Hey, listen, man, I'll suck your fucking dick. I will suck your fucking dick for some of that Percocet. And I don't think you can get a testimonial any better than that. Percocet, check it out. Wow,
great.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank
what a
you for
sponsor.
That.
A great sponsor.
It's good stuff, man. Have you had it?
I have had Percocet. When did I get it? After a surgery or something.
Oh, man.
You can
get addicted to that shit.
I am. People do. It's that's actually an epidemic right now. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. That's a bold joke.
Yeah.
Wow. That's, I didn't see it as a joke. I was just reading copy.
I can't do painkillers. I tried, like, one time I got my wisdom teeth taken out and they gave me painkillers, and I am such a lightweight, I just throw up. Like, I just can't handle toxins.
Yeah.
Even everyone thinks that I drink a lot, and I really don't. Like, if I drink half a drink, I am very drunk.
People think you're friggin' lush, man.
I know. Well, we have tons of alcohol at our house because I love making drinks, and I love the flavors, and I love hosting things.
Well, it's also
because
we did a drinking show, and we had to buy a shit ton of alcohol to make all those different drinks.
Right, and we got sponsored by a lot of alcohol companies.
Never,
and I love alcohol. I just can't drink a lot of it, so I could never be
Do you get
an
the Asian glow?
Or,
no.
Do you?
No.
Yeah, got the white jeans.
Chester
for us.
Is part Filipino.
Yeah, I'm half Asian.
Yeah.
Half,
Chester and I are the same mix.
Yeah.
Half Filipino, half white. What's your white side?
You know, I don't know, a bunch of white stuff mixed together.
West Virginia?
West Virginia.
I have a theory too. Do you think that contributes at all? Because I was never able to check off one box for the race column. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I never was part of a box. Like I was never brown enough to be accepted by the Filipino group. And then I was never white enough to be considered white. I was always like the brown friend of the white group. So I don't know. I've never been like, this is my group, or like had a strong sense of like.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I've never like attached myself to either being white or being Filipino.
The other day, Nikki tried to associate herself. She was like trying to say like that she's a white person. And I was like, don't fucking say that. Don't fucking say that.
No, I didn't.
You're not one of us. You'll never be one of us.
You trying to make it that, but I don't remember what I said.
No, you were trying to say that you're white, and I'm like, don't.
Or it didn't happen.
No, you were saying, we were watching something, and you're like, well, that's not what like how my white family is. And I'm like, don't fucking say,
I was talking about my white side of the family.
Don't say, you're not one of us. You'll never be one of us. That's what I say.
Yeah.
No, you're oppressed.
I'm very oppressed. I can't get ahead in America. So back to what you were saying, I think that at a certain point, and then I wish I had sources that I could cite, because I swear to God, I've read this, but you know what? Google it. I'm open to being wrong. You can prove me wrong. I don't care. But I was reading something that said after $75,000, if you make a net income of $75,000, up to $250,000, your lifestyle doesn't change that much in between those two numbers. And then after $250,000, it doesn't change that much until like millions of dollars. And so I think there are two types of people. One, they get power hungry and they're like, I don't know what to do with all this money now, so I just want more power. And then the other type, I think they get really philanthropic. How do I say that?
Philanthropic.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying. Yeah.
You said it like 99%, right?
Yeah, right? Like, put it together. Where they're like, oh, I have all this excess money. Now what can I do to help people?
Yeah.
And I think that's very interesting. So you going on to the Wells thing for purpose, I think that either power or helping people can drive people after a certain point.
Sure. I just watched The Good Place for the first time last night.
Oh, we saw The Good Place?
Yeah.
Last night. So you know the show?
Yeah.
And it's so funny. I was like.
Kristen Bell show?
Nobody knows what actually ends up happening at the end of this life. But there's an innate sense within all of us that that we might actually get judged for how we behaved on this planet.
Right.
When it's all said and done. I was talking to Shay Carl. And yeah. He has a Shay.
Name
and,
drop that shit fucking on the table.
I happen to be friends with the one and only Shay.
Wow.
No, and we were talking about Mormonism and, you know, because he's Mormon. And we were just sort of describing, you know, the idea of what happens afterwards. And he was like, picture like AI that we're working on right now, and we don't really know potentially what it's gonna happen with, like, when some of these deep learning algorithms. So you'd put like these AI robots or whatever on us, like a different place that's not where we are, and then we just sit back and observe, and then the ones that are not like destroying the place, and or the ones that are actually doing their job and doing it well and doing it correctly, well, we can use that, we can bring that back
that's
over.
That's so interesting.
And I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Like, there's something there with that. I could see us being this sort of conscious being put on Earth, somebody just sitting back and be like, well, see, they start murdering, they're not allowed back over here.
Right.
So I don't know.
Or they like interfere with that? Do you think that, I mean, because we haven't blown up the world yet. Do you think it's ever been like, maybe they interfered and they're like, oh shit, they're about to destroy everything. Let's like calm this shit down.
Dude, if you hear a lot of the aliens, UFO sightings.
Ancient aliens.
Well, yeah, ancient alien astronaut theory, which is a legitimate science.
Yeah, very legitimate.
Well, you know, I'm a huge.
Same.
An ancient
Robert
alien.
Lazar.
I'm
a big Bob Lazar guy.
Yes.
I believe that guy.
Ancient astronaut theory is another favorite of mine, which I am an ancient astrologist. And I believe that there's no way that we could blow up the world, because I think that they're already here and that they have dismantled our nuclear sites, but then our government won't say that they have done that because they don't want to tell the whole world that we don't have no nukes.
Okay.
CIA is knocking on your door tomorrow morning.
Well, if they do, then I'll tell everyone next week on the show.
So even that conversation, though, even talking about aliens, whether or not you believe that or not, people listening, there's some people out there that'll be like, well, we can't take these people seriously.
Yep.
You
know,
they're talking about aliens, and that is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I feel like
they take themselves so
serious. You should be able to entertain a thought and think about, like, oh, what if that happened, without feeling that you need to adopt that as your personal belief or feel like your identity is being threatened by someone even merely talking about it.
Yeah.
And I think that people, I'm trying to figure out, like, why, like, what's the motive behind being this way? Like, what's the self-preservation thing? And I think that people are really scared of looking silly, like looking stupid.
Look at half of every internet comment. It's always somebody who takes something very literally, who is like, I'm not dumb. Here's me proving I'm not dumb.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, dude, you really read into this, bro. Like, nobody was even talking about what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Or they weren't being serious about it, but you're being very serious. So strange to me. But I look at things so not seriously that it's... Right. Sometimes causes
it's like I collect crystals, and I started, like, I collected them for a long time, but then, like, years later, found out that there were metaphysical properties attached to them, and I thought that was so interesting. So I just read about them just to see what it was about, and I thought it was neat. I shared that one time, or a few times now,
there
on
are
social
no
media.
Metaphysical properties.
And people are like, oh, what a fucking kook, like, she's a woo-woo person. And I'm like, I just think it's interesting that people have assigned them metaphysical properties. I think that's fucking interesting.
So the way I looked at the crystals, I thought there was something really kind of fascinating about that, because obviously placebo is a real thing. I believe in the power of thought, right?
Yeah.
And so in my mind, let's say you have a crystal, and whatever particular crystal has been assigned certain things. Like, maybe it helps you deal with resentment and anger.
Oh, it's
people,
a geode, yeah.
Yeah, so then you would take that, you put it in your pocket, and you're going out, and you're dealing with someone that you have a hard time dealing with, but it helps you deal with the resentment. Well, even if the crystal works or not, right?
Yeah. You're thinking about it the whole time.
It doesn't matter, because it's going to have some positive effect, because you're going to be, it's in your pocket, you touch it, it reminds you, hey, calm down. You know, realign.
That's exactly.
So if you
want to
realign, you want to pair it up.
What's that?
Pair it up.
With what?
If you want to realign.
A pairdo?
Pairdo.
Are you dropping crystal knowledge?
You're actually pretty close.
Am I actually?
The green crystals deal with anger. Yes, and pairdo is a green crystal.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're very, very close. Yeah.
It was jade, actually.
My bad.
Is it? I don't know.
I think green calcite is actually a good one for that.
Oh, there we go. Black onyx.
I would say
black
emerald,
onyx,
but that's too
black
easy.
Onyx good for...
Black onyx is good for grounding and protection. Oh, okay. But see, I just know these things because I was reading about them, and I think it's fascinating. It's not because I'm like, I pray to crystals or think that they're going to save me or whatever, but people just even listening to that are like, I can't take this girl seriously because she's talking about crystals.
I had kidney stones in Costa Rica, and Nikki laid some geodes on my stomach.
I did do that. I put, it was crystal quartz. It was just a clear quartz, which is supposed to be cleansing. And I just put it, but that wasn't for your kidney stones, bro. That was for, because you were having bad dreams. And I was like.
Have you got, not you know to, what I'm this isn't a, this isn't a non sequitur or anything. I just, have you guys heard of the no-fap movement?
What's that?
No-fapping movement?
No-fap. I thought you said
no-fat.
Yeah.
No,
like, get the fat people out of here.
Oh, no-fap. How?
No-fap.
That's no fun.
So wait, what's the movement?
I don't know if it's a movement, I guess. Maybe I shouldn't call
it
a movement.
Edging?
I just, my buddy's doing it, and
you can't masturbate.
Yeah, you can't ejaculate at all, right?
I'm against this.
And apparently
opposition.
makes you
this is threatening my identity.
Makes you like confident, more confident. The whole idea is that there's power in that, and you're giving it up, and like when you don't.
No, I've heard of this. Yeah.
Like in 10 weeks, you start to be able to flow off the ground.
It's called it's like sex energy, a lot of great leaders in history have believed that they use that, if instead of releasing it during sex or during masturbation, if they use that sexual energy toward what they're building, that it has a much more powerful energy.
I heard MLK wouldn't jerk.
Maybe. Muhammad Ali famously did this before fights. Like 6 weeks out, he wouldn't before fights.
I do it just because, like, I have so much anxiety and stress. Like, I'm not even horny half the time. I just need to get rid of this, like, extra energy. Yeah. Like, it's too much energy. I have too much dick energy.
Yeah. But I was thinking, like, you know, for some of these guys that were walking around, they're like, I finally started talking to girls. I think I'm releasing these pheromones or whatever. It's like, You probably just think that, and now you're probably walking around being like, I've got this power
got this
inside
new energy.
Me. And confidence is such a player.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, that's, true.
You know, so.
It's all mind games, that's all mental hilarious. Games. So that's like their little crystal placebo effect.
Yeah. And by the way, if they believe it, right, like, and they are being more confident, then it's working. Technically, it doesn't matter how it's working. It's working.
Yeah, whether you got a fucking piece of magnesium in your pocket, if as long as it's doing the job for you, making you think that.
But I love when people just are so close-minded about new ideas because they're just like, they have to stay right. Like this dude, I read this comment the other day. I was talking about how I've never been in real love until Steve. Like I feel like that's been like an actual real true love that I didn't even know existed until we got together. I thought I loved people before, but not like this. And that I don't know if I believe in one soulmate, but like I think that you are the exact complement to me, and I am very in love, and we only get more and more love. This dude tried to argue with me in the comments that love doesn't exist, and I'm like super naive and stupid.
She's susceptible to a chemical
believe
reaction.
That love exists, and that it's actually love is just a chemical that's in your brain, and it disappears within 2 to 3 years.
No shit,
we've been together
dude.
For 6 years,
Who
so
cares?
I don't know.
Who cares? Yeah. Wait, that's not what she's talking about.
And maybe I'm wrong.
She's
maybe
not saying the biology is not what's causing it. Who gives a shit? Like, she's just saying that she's feeling this.
That this guy, he was so adamant into like, he wanted me to be dumb and wrong because like love doesn't exist, and how fucking stupid am I that I believe in this shit? And I think it's just because he doesn't want to face that maybe it does exist and maybe he hasn't experienced it yet, or maybe
no, he's just a literal person.
The more painful truth that maybe he never will experience.
He's so literal.
I think that people are
disgusting.
No, people think people do have to protect themselves.
Yeah, but to him, you're too dumb to know that it's a chemical reaction and that it's not an actual thing. I've heard people say this.
Anyone that has actually experienced it wouldn't say that shit. And I think that they need to believe that because they haven't experienced it yet, and they don't want to deal with the fact that maybe it does exist.
Yeah, but it's
and
a bothy to me. It's a bothy. It's like the people who
it's
are
a
like
bothy.
Yeah, well, no, it's like the people who are like, you know, religion can't exist with science, and I'm like, of course it can. Like, to me, like they're not exclusive. Like, unless the religion makes it exclusive. Right? Yeah, that's where that kind of creep is what pisses me off.
Sure, sure.
But they can coexist. It's totally chill. Like,
you know what? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, another thing that really opened my mind. Do you guys lucid dream?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We talked about
all
this.
All the time, yeah.
So I've tried to. I
lucid can't
dream,
do it.
Like every week, right? Yeah. So it was just one of those things with my buddy.
Lucid dreaming is when you're dreaming and you know that you're dreaming and you're controlling it.
And for
you
me.
You can fly and do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want. That's and there's different levels of lucidity. Like, at the highest level of lucidity, everyone it's as real as this.
Yeah,
I mean, and it's gnarly because you take a moment and you're like if you think about it, like your brain, all of this is just the reflection of light, and then your brain's all creating this experience.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why you can't
recreate.
Oh man,
so it's a little silly then.
Well, what's that? But if it's all just your brain recreating it, yeah, of course you can do it when you're sleeping.
Yeah,
so you can just be in a completely new world. And it's if you don't have another sense of consciousness when you do that, like that, I don't know. Like,
I'm so jealous that you get to do that. I've only done it maybe twice, and each time I'm like, oh shit, it's the lucid dream thing. I can fly, and then I fly, and then I'm like, where do I want to go? Tahiti, and then I go to like to the ocean.
Slowly go to Tahiti over the ocean.
Yeah,
yeah.
And like,
it takes
you
fucking 36 hours.
I've done research, and I know you can just transport there, so I transported there.
Yeah, yeah.
But then like, what happens to me is that don't laugh at my dreams.
I'm sorry. Just picturing you flying at 30 miles an hour,
I'm
and you're
so
like,
excited.
Oh, I'll just take it along.
Do you know in Mario Party that clear water?
Yeah.
How I'm like, oh, I just want to be there so bad. That's like where I would go every day if I could. Yeah, so I get there, and this has happened like all two or three times that I've done this, is I'm like, oh shit, it's the most beautiful place I've ever seen. And I go to dive into the water and I don't get wet. And then it ruins it for me. Like I can't feel wetness in my dream. And I'm just
interesting.
God damn it. This is, and it just takes me out of it. I'm like, God.
Wetness is one of the only things
real?
I feel like when I dream, because I fucking sweat so much. Like I'm a fucking, it looks like
you
I jumped
sweat
out
a
of
lot.
The pool when I wake up sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You sweat a lot.
I sweat a lot.
August is crazy.
Not to brag, but I guess I'll brag. That's a humble brag.
Yeah.
Like I didn't even know you had that many pores on your body. Like a human being has that many pores that can sweat that much.
I like this image of Steve waking up just drenched.
Oh, dude, I'm dry. It looks like I just jumped out, like, out of
the
water.
He gets cold at night, so I feel like you dress yourself up in a bunch of clothes to go to bed, and then you just fucking sweat like buckets.
Even if I don't wear clothes, though, like very much, I still sweat.
You always wear clothes. I've never seen this man not wear.
No. I'm saying very much, though. Like if I wear just like a t-shirt and shorts. It's super interesting stuff.
Very interesting.
We're going to do a whole podcast on it next week. What I wear when I go to bed and what you should wear.
You want to hear a quote that's apropos to this conversation?
Yes.
I just wanted to throw that out.
Apropos.
He said he likes using it.
Oh, yeah. I have a new word too, but I'll use it later.
No, go ahead, use it later.
Yeah, I will.
If you take out the aliens part of the quote, it's fantastic. It's from Men in Black.
Okay.
He says,
I make this shit look good.
Sorry. Don't you? Yeah, yeah. No, it's 1,500 years ago, you knew that Earth was the center of the universe. 500 years ago, you knew the Earth is flat. Imagine what you'll know tomorrow.
Yes.
And it's just this reminder, we're at this forever receding line of ignorance where we just, we think we know, we don't, you know? And so.
You know what I say to that?
What's that?
Okay, slick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. I hear you.
Love that movie.
Great movie. Yeah, yeah. Well, are you excited about the new one?
No.
Yeah, neither am I.
I didn't know about it.
It's all about Will Smith.
I actually had that written down.
No Will Smith, no thanks.
Yeah.
I didn't have that was a Men in Black quote because of, I don't cite my sources, but I had it written down that I love when people use science as like their facts. We're like, yeah, you're literally trying to debate science right now. And they say that, but like 500 years ago, the science was that the Earth was the center of the universe. The science was that the Earth was flat or whatever the fuck the science was.
Yeah.
Like as if science doesn't change. Like saying it's science doesn't make you right.
Yeah, no.
That's how they proved relativity is because they kept on trying to shoot holes into Einstein's theory and then they're like, oh shit, we think this is actually the most legit one. And it still doesn't mean it's like sedentary rock legit. Like it's not like a finalized thing.
Well, Isaac Newton was the man behind how everything worked before Einstein added to it.
Right.
You know, so there's no reason why someone's not going to add to Einstein.
And didn't Galileo
It's more likely that someone will add to Einstein.
Yeah, probably me.
Yeah, probably you.
Galileo did things with the marbles, and then he got locked up in prison.
Yeah, that's why.
You don't like it when you think.
No.
Yeah. The other thing about science is science says, 80 or 85%, something like that, is dark energy, which is just really a euphemism for we don't fucking know.
Yeah. what is it, 95% or something?
It is something like that.
That's why a lot of scientists are spiritual, because they're like, yeah, there's a lot that we can't account for.
Yeah.
Right. So there must be. I don't know, something out there.
Also, probably because their dad's a Catholic, like hard ass, you know?
that too. Yeah. I was watching, what's that movie with Matthew McConaughey and he goes to space?
And he's got no shirt on.
Oh, she goes to space.
You love this movie.
Contact, and there's also Interstellar.
Interstellar.
So I was watching Interstellar at the theater, and I remember these guys at the end of the movie. They're like, oh my God, that's so. They had me, and then they got to the black hole part, and that is not how black holes operate. So lame. And
they've been in a black hole.
I love these cats.
I mean, I get that there's some information that we have theories about, like what's going on with black holes. But come on, how much do we really know about a black hole? You know, other than what Neil deGrasse Tyson has told us. You know?
Right. And even if we were to send a camera in there, it's not like we know that the camera would operate just like how a human mind would operate. Like it could be completely different. Like there's so much room for different theories.
Yeah, well, except for Neil Tyson, like you said.
Him and Stephen Hawking, those guys know.
Yeah. But they don't even claim to know. That's what's fun about all that too, is like these guys who say like, well, I heard Neil Tyson say we don't know, but Neil Tyson's not saying like, guess what? The verdict is in.
No. I'm sure he would agree with everything
we're saying. I've almost never heard him talk like that.
Yeah, he's fun though. He is fun to listen to.
Oh yeah.
I went to saw him live once. He was great.
He's really like
a scientist comedian.
He's got a great magnanimity to him. He's really, really.
So he just does like a one-man show? How is that like? How does he start that? Just like, hey, so you want to talk about science or what?
He literally science with dad jokes, but he's so charming that it's fun.
Yeah, he's just a ball of charm. Yeah.
Yeah, he seems like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had said something about talking about being labeled. I remember, the atheist community was trying to grab him for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about, there's a YouTube video of him saying this, but he's trying to explain what he is. He's like, if there's anything, I guess I'm an agnosticrat, but I wouldn't give me an ist.
He came up with that word?
No.
No,
agnosticrat. Oh, sorry.
Agnostic.
He's agnostic. Yeah.
I was like, he came up with the Chester C logo?
No, that's a Chester C brand.
Okay, got it.
And he was like, the only thing I really am is a scientist, if you're going to give me an ist.
Yeah.
And he was like, as soon as you say you're something, then people just assign everything that they already know about that thing to you before they even have a conversation.
They now put a blanket over you, and they're like, this is all I know about the subject that I haven't really researched that much of, but this must be you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You must
Chester,
believe all
you,
these things.
Would you say that your fan base, would you call them C heads?
Yeah. No. I used to call them model C-tisons.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Is this when you used
to take? To ask you to leave the podcast.
You used to take shirtless pictures, like shirtless selfies. Is that that era? Like,
everyone puts out a shirtless selfie here and there. No.
No.
I you know, so funny. I actually got really self conscious about being shirtless because I was getting.
Good.
Well, no,
we were lumping you into a category.
Here's the thing. I've got thoughts on this because
yeah. Let's do it.
Okay, so. At first, I was like, "Oh man,
debate,
I don't want to
go back on his Instagram if you want to check out these references."
No. But it's like I don't want to be labeled or thought of as like that guy that's just being sure. And how much is this vain and like, oh, I'm looking for approval or like, or I'm getting high off of seeing people say, "Oh, that I look good" or anything. And recently, I took a giant step back and I really asked, like, how much different is anything that anyone posts mm-hmm. in terms of what they're trying to achieve out of posting? Like, if you're a comedian, you're trying to what make people. Laugh and for some reason I had this feeling like that's more respectable than someone that well hold on
according to society not according to me
but
unassailably
but if the Rock is putting out a video of him working out and he's inspiring people to be healthy and better their lives and maybe extend their lives from being healthy and whatnot
I don't like it because it's very culty when he does that honestly I don't like all that
Jesus okay this isn't your opinion on the Rock but like
I think I'm just sick of the Rock honestly
yeah. Go
ahead,
no that's I mean
I'm really, so sick
if
of
you them. Are if you are you know self-aware enough
yeah
and, I think to know you know how you are contributing to this whole social media thing and you're aware of the amount of time and energy you're putting in, what you're actually trying to get out of it, then you know whatever you post, it's almost all the same to me.
I felt that way when I was a comic, that as a woman you had to desexualize yourself, otherwise you're just like put in this box of like, oh, you're just trying to be whatever. And I really was scared to be sexual at all. Like I didn't like any sex jokes or any like anything sexual at all. I didn't like how I was getting cast as like the sexy girl. I just didn't like that girl, you know, like I didn't want to be that girl. And it took me a while to like really find my own sexuality and be like liberated on that front and be like, oh, actually I'm a whole person and I have sexual needs and desires and I like to feel sexy and feel like my best self. And I like to make jokes about the world and make observations. And one doesn't make me not the other. Yeah. But I feel like that was a whole thing back then when I was doing stand up. A lot of the girls had to like dress like very what's it called? The gender neutral. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said for branding, though, right? And like seeing someone and going like, that's their brand. Like The Rock is known for like, I'm going to be lifting weights on my thing. I'm going to be telling people like, here's what you got to do with your life and here's what you should be eating and shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be promoting my next shittiest movie you can ever think of in your life. Like that's kind of his brand.
Okay.
So like, but then that's what branding is, right? So if you're the shirtless selfie guy and then you're like, wait, why doesn't everyone take me seriously? Because you're known as the shirtless selfie guy. Then that's why everyone doesn't take you seriously. And it's the same thing as like with the bikini model chicks on Insta and like the people. Like to me, it's just branding and that's what it is.
Sure.
It's like what you are is what you are.
If it overpowers. Yeah. If it overpowers. Yeah. The main thing that you do.
Exactly.
But also, I don't know why. I don't know why I would at this stage in my life. I'm applying it to me right now. I don't know. Why, how could I care? Because
sure.
For me, I'm like, I actually had this thought. I was like, man, because I love sharing, you know, new music. Like, because my main passion and love is writing original songs. And, you know, that's.
Yeah. And
that's
you're really good at it.
Oh, thank you.
By the way.
Agreed.
And now this is like, let's say I was sitting at the piano and I was in jacked shape and I decided, okay, I'm going to go shirtless because I know it's going to garner way more audience, which is going to get. Make bring more awareness to what I'm doing with the Wells, mm-hmm. and it's going to help me raise more money for the Wells.
Yeah.
Why? I can't figure out why I would care about the few people that do have a judgmental opinion about it. If it's not contributing, you know what I mean? Like, just because they are judgmental about it, and even it shouldn't enter my equation because they're not actually a part of what I'm trying to do over here.
For sure.
You know what I mean? So,
but then you can't bitch when people are like, you're the shirtless selfie guy. That's
no,
all
of
I'm
course
saying.
Not.
That's
of course
all I'm saying.
Not. No. Oh, yeah.
It's
you
not,
can't, if you start to become that
yeah.
thing, sure, sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And see, that's what
using
I think
sex to sell Wells is tight.
Is that,
do it all day.
Being okay with being wrong opens you up to not being as judgmental on yourself and makes you less judgmental of others. And I think that that is just something that I wish more people would have known earlier in life. To quote Aristotle, it is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it.
Mm.
And I think that's very great. And now we're going on to final thoughts because we're at the end of the session.
Say
thank
that
you
quote again.
It is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. In other words, like you're able to
listen to an idea without necessarily
needing letting it affect you and letting it take over your whole.
Plato probably told him that, and he's just regurgitating.
Probably.
Yeah. Plato got it from Socrates, right? Is that the line?
Socrates. Yeah.
I don't know because I don't even know those people.
Socrates, like, there isn't writings from Socrates, right? It's all just sort of from Plato,
I don't know what I'm talking about. I just haven't studied them extensively. I didn't use my word yet.
What was the word?
It was, let me use it. You know, just listening to new ideas doesn't mean you have to abjure everything that you believed in your...
Nikki got a new book, everybody.
I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to use a new word every day.
It's going to be a lot of A words for a while because she's going
going through the alphabet. So it's abjure today.
Yeah. Sure, nice. Yeah.
It means to leave behind a previous way of thinking or lifestyle. So, feel free to use it. You're welcome.
I will. I like that one.
Thank you so much for being on our podcast today, Chester. I think you were.
You got a final thought?
Yeah, we're getting that.
Oh, well, what the fuck?
I'm just getting there. You just cut me off. No, I didn't say my final thought. I was just quoting Aristotle.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, but I was gonna thank Chester first for being on the show and tell people where to find him.
Yeah.
First, Chester, where can they find you?
Honestly, at this stage, the way that I'm doing things, mostly just on Instagram than the YouTube thing.
He wants to build wells and give people.
Oh, there you go. Patreon.com/ChesterC. I'm going to change the name soon, though.
/ChesterC
for now.
Okay.
But there's this quote that I was thinking about a lot lately where it was, it's amazing how much you can get done when you don't care who gets credit. And I'm trying to apply some of that to what I'm doing now, where I'm trying to remove needing to be, hey, it's me that's doing the wells.
As you talk about building walls. Yeah.
Well, no, but I think... Nice.
But he doesn't need the credit for it. No, but seriously,
I mean, at this stage, I have to.
Like, I'm just fucking with you, as always.
You know, I think there's a lot, there's a bigger picture here for me if I let go of that. Yeah, yeah.
Character is defined by what you do in private or whatever. Martin Luther Jr., I don't know, he said that. Anyway, yes, go find Chester, go help him with his wells. Also, you can email us anytime, podcast@nikki.limo. We're on YouTube now on my channel, youtube.com/NikkiLimo, if you want to see the video portion of this podcast. Yes, Chester, you have a question?
I got a final thought.
Okay, we're going to go to final thoughts now. Go ahead.
My final thoughts.
Please.
I was thinking of this the other day, you know, that you have to sort of be wrong, fail. You have to continue. Failing is the only way you actually get better. And I was thinking this because I obviously play the piano, right? And I should be way better than I am. But instead of failing as I'm like, to learn something, you have to fail at it until you stop failing at it and then you become better, right?
We did a whole episode on that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's...
Tune into that.
All right, I will.
I don't want to belittle your final thought.
No, it's
because I agree with you.
It's very similar to being wrong. Get out there, have conversations. You know, we speak definitively by nature, so get into conversations, find out if you're right or wrong on things, and that's how you grow.
Like, yes,
it's just like anything else. And so, that's my final thought.
I like it. I'm a fan.
Yeah,
Steve.
Yeah, man. My favorite quote goes all the way back to Buddha. He says, "Tomorrow's Friday. Let's get fucking faded."
Oh, yeah, we were talking about Buddha before this because I was talking about identity and Chester's like, oh, I don't really have an identity. And I was like, Buddha says you shouldn't. Buddha says throw that shit in the garbage. It's trash.
Yep.
Buddha knows.
But you can Google all
Buddha
of that.
Buddha says wine coolers are cheaper.
They also give you a headache in the morning, so be prepped for that. Yeah, Buddha must have had a lot of headaches.
Buddha didn't have headaches because he could psych himself out of the headaches.
Oh, gotcha.
He used to know fab too.
Yeah.
He was no fat big time.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. That's why he could walk on water.
Yeah.
I don't think that wasn't the Buddha. Okay, mine is
so guarded about your opinion, Nikki.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Why don't you have an open mind about some of the stuff
so
we're saying?
I'm sorry. Oh, wow. You're right. I'm wrong.
Mind.
I'm very wrong.
Buddha,
and I'm okay with it.
Walking on water theory.
I'm okay with it. He probably did walk on water.
I have a theory Jesus Christ was just a magician and everyone got the story way wrong.
I think that's a pretty good one. Yeah.
And his finale was like, I'm gonna come back from the dead.
Yeah. It's like water into wine is just the rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah.
Like, what if the rabbit out of the hat was in the Bible? It's like he pulled a rabbit out of the fucking hat,
well,
and everyone's like, holy shit,
he did
what?
What if he disappeared from another place and ended up in Mary's stomach or her uterus to Immaculate Conception?
He miniaturized himself?
Yeah. Like, he disappeared in another realm. Yeah, he was like, boom, and then he put him...
Maybe.
And then he went back in time.
Hey, I'm not going to discount that theory.
So my final thought is that I think that people get too identified with thought, and I wish that people would, you know, not be so identified. But we become the stories that we tell ourselves, and the narratives that we believe become so important. And we only take in information that supports it, and then we shut out anything that threatens it. And I think we should stop doing that, because you'll be a lot happier. You'll be less emotionally attached to new ideas coming at you. And I just really hope that people can take that in. So there you go.
That's nice. That's
my sister always gets super pissed if I have gum in her house, because she's like, it's going to kill my dogs. But I'm like, why don't you have a more of a fucking open mind, Jen?
That's your final line.
And I think that that's an important thing
that's
we
exactly
should all take away from it.
She was saying.
Thank
Learn,
you.
Learn, grow, be wrong. Okay.
Be wrong.
Thank you so much for listening. Well, be sure to rate and subscribe and all that stuff on
Five
Apple.
Stars.
Five stars, please. Gracias.